Now, in case you missed it, the royal couple, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, arrived in Sydney this morning for the launch of the Invictus Games on the weekend. The sporting festival for wounded military veterans is supported by Australia's biggest veterans charity, the RSL. But could the Games also help drive change inside the RSL, as well as for veterans? I spoke earlier to the president of the RSL in New South Wales, James Brown. James Brown, welcome back to The World Today.
Hello.
Now, you're on the board of the Invictus Games. You're also president of RSL New South Wales, which you say you're rebuilding after last year's revelations of the extraordinary greed of those who used to run the charity. To what extent is supporting the Invictus Games part of the rebuilding of the RSL's image?
Well, look, being part of the Invictus Games is an absolute no-brainer for us. It's central to the mission we have, which is to make sure that veterans and their families in need can be helped, but also to making sure that Australians understand how important the service and sacrifice of veterans and their families has been and is today. So, of course, we wanted to be a founding partner of the Games, and you'll see us front and centre over the next few weeks as the Games play out in Sydney.
No doubt a positive, though, for an organisation that you yourself said was rotten to the core to be associated with all the royal fanfare of these Games?
Well, I think it's about being associated with the message of the Games, which is that the power of sport really does wonders to heal veterans who've been through immense hardship as a result of their military service. And you're right, we have had a few difficult years with the RSL. We've had a very public corruption scandal and expenses scandal, but also our organisation had stopped reforming 50 years ago, and we're trying to catch up on all that so we can help more veterans today.
And what do you think will change for veterans with these Games? Will they make a critical difference to people's lives?
Look, I think they will. There is a lot that goes on in the veteran space that Australians just don't see. Despite the immense regard we have for people who have served in the Australian Defence Force, I mean, a lot of the struggle that veterans' families have, and particularly carers of veterans who've been through immense hardship, that sort of struggle is only really coming into focus through some of the stories that are being told around the Games. But I think more than anything else, what this Games will do is bring the veterans' family in Australia back together again. I mean, we've spent a lot of time dividing up veterans by when they served and how they served and which ex-service organisation they're a part of. The message of the Invictus Games is that we're one veterans' family and we're stronger when we come together. And I think that will give the veterans' family immense pride of what they've done and what they can do.
As well as being president of RSL New South Wales, you're also a veteran. What was the hardest thing for you when you returned from overseas service?
I think it's trying to explain what you've done. The military is immensely complex. I mean, the military runs ships, hospitals, tanks. It has psychologists, journalists even inside the military. There are an immense number of roles. But most people only see one role, and that's the infantryman with a rifle. So trying to explain the complexity of what you've done, trying to explain what the war in Afghanistan was like, I think was particularly challenging because it wasn't something Australians immediately connected with. And if you can't understand the service that veterans have rendered, then you can't respect the service that veterans have rendered. And of course, the other issue I had, like a lot of veterans, is trying to take all the acronyms out of your military CV so you can get employed by someone when you leave.
Well, employment is a problem. Why are unemployment rates for veterans so high, given their skills?
The transition out of defence is where we're learning we need to put an incredible amount of focus, because that's where things really start to go right or wrong for veterans. Because when you're in defence, there is an enormous amount of infrastructure supporting you. You have a very clear purpose and mission. When you come out, all of that falls away.
You've launched a campaign for veterans to change what you call one simple bureaucratic oversight. What is this oversight, and how will addressing it change things for veterans?
Well, it's a stunning oversight in a way, but it's so simple. The Australian Census doesn't have a question on it that asks whether people have served in the Australian Defence Force or not. And that seems like a minor thing, but the Census drives an enormous amount of government policy and government spending. It tells us where people are and where problems need to be fixed. Half the problem we've got at the moment is that we don't know where all the veterans are. We don't know where they live. We don't know where we need to be putting more services or more funding. And really, for an area of government in which we spend more than $12 billion, there's not much data around at all.
Surely you at the RSL or the Department of Veteran Affairs have this sort of data?
Well, we've got some of it. DVA can tell you where people live who are already accessing DVA services, but it's a very incomplete and patchy picture. The crunch time is now. The decision will be made by the ABS as to whether this question goes on the census for 2021 in the next few weeks, and we want it absolutely to be on that census.
There is a Productivity Commission inquiry into veterans. What do you expect that might throw up?
There are a couple of interesting issues that it's throwing up already. I mean, one of the things we don't measure in the veterans charity sector is outcomes. In the disability sector, you measure outcomes and the NDIS measures outcomes. The veterans space, when it comes to getting veterans back on their feet and being active again, doesn't measure a lot of outcomes. That needs to change. One of the submissions we've made to the Productivity Commission is that DVA needs to have veterans in their own staff. If you're dealing with the problems that veterans have, it helps to have your own military service experience. And we'd like to see DVA commit to hiring 15% of their frontline staff from the veterans community by 2020. And there is the potential that the whole model under which DVA operates could change as a result of this study. So we've made a number of submissions. We think there needs to be a peak body of veteran groups and that they need to accredit some of the people working for them, because there are a lot of well-meaning amateurs out there delivering services to veterans, sometimes with bad or even tragic results.
When you say bad or even tragic results, what are you referring to?
Well, you have a number of major ex-service organisations delivering care for veterans and their families, but there are a number of one-man bands out there hanging out the shingle saying that they can help veterans, and sometimes they're not equipped to do that. That can mean that when veterans are at a critical or complex time, the person they're most relying on is not there to help them. So we need to ensure that, you know, there is a space for volunteers and amateurs, but that they're backed by professional networks of providers, clinical and non-clinical, for veterans that have complex issues that need to be dealt with.
James Brown, thanks very much for joining us.
No problem at all.
And James Brown is the president of the RSL in New South Wales.